I said gently. Stop that. You were supposed to give us a hard time, Magdy. Giving people a hard time is what you do. Ask Gretchen.
It's true, Gretchen said, not unkindly. It really is.
Enzo thought of you as his brother, I said. You're my brother, too. You have been all this time. I love you, Magdy.
I love you, too, Zoe, Magdy said quietly, and then looked straight at me.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I gave him another hug. Just remember that as your new family member, I'm now entitled to give you all sorts of crap.
I can't wait, Magdy said, and then turned to Gretchen. Does this make you my sister, too?
Considering our history, you better hope not, Gretchen said. Magdy laughed at that, which was a good sign, then gave me a peck on a cheek, gave Gretchen a hug, and then walked from the grave of his friend and brother.
Do you think he's going to be okay? I asked Gretchen as we watched him go.
No, Gretchen said. Not for a long time. I know you loved Enzo, Zoe, I really do, and I don't want this to sound like I'm trying to undercut that. But Enzo and Magdy were two halves of the same whole.
She nodded to Magdy.
You lost someone you love. He's lost part of himself. I don't know if he's going to get over that.
You can help him, I said.
Maybe, Gretchen said. But think about what you're asking me to do.
I laughed. It's why I loved Gretchen. She was the smartest girl I ever knew, and smart enough to know that being smart had its own repercussions. She could help Magdy, all right, by becoming part of what he was missing. But it meant her being that, one way or another, for the rest of their lives. She would do it, because when it came down to it, she really did love Magdy. But she was right to worry about what it meant for her.
Anyway, Gretchen said, I'm not done helping someone else.
I snapped out of my thoughts at that. Oh, I said. Well, you know, I'm okay.
I know, Gretchen said. I also know you lie horribly.
I can't fool you, I said.
Nope, Gretchen said. Because what Enzo was to Magdy, I am to you.
I hugged her. I know, I said.
Good, Gretchen said. Whenever you forget, I'll remind you.
Okay, I said. We unhugged, and Gretchen left me alone with Enzo and his family, and I sat with them for a long time.
4 days later, a note from Dad from a skip drone from Phoenix Station. A miracle, it said. I'm not headed for prison. We are heading back on the next supply ship. Tell Hickory and Dickory that I will need to speak to them when I return. Love you. There was another note for Jane, but she didn't tell me what was in it.
Why would Dad want to talk to you? I asked Hickory.
We don't know, Hickory said. The last time he and I spoke of anything of any importance was the day, I am sorry, that your friend Enzo died. Some time ago, before we left Huckleberry, I had mentioned to Major Perry that the Oban government and the Oban people stood ready to assist you and your family here on Roanoke, should you need our assistance. Major Perry reminded me of that conversation and asked me if the offer still stood. I told him that at the time I believed it did.
You think Dad is going to ask for your help? I asked.
I do not know, Hickory said. And since I last spoke to Major Perry, circumstances have changed.
What do you mean? I asked.
Dickory and I have finally received detailed, updated information from our government, up to and including its analysis of the Colonial Union's attack on the Conclave fleet, Hickory said. The most important piece of news is that we have been informed that shortly after the Magellan disappeared, the Colonial Union came to the Oban government and asked it not to search for the Roanoke colony, nor to offer it assistance if it were to be located by the Conclave or any other race.
They knew you would come looking for me, I said.
Yes, Hickory said.
But why would they tell you not to help us? I asked.
because it would interfere with the Colonial Union's own plans to lure the Conclave fleet to Roanoke, Hickory said.
That's happened, I said. That's done. The Open can help us now, I said.
The Colonial Union has asked us to continue not to offer aid or assistance to Roanoke, Hickory said.
That makes no sense, I said.
We are inclined to agree, Hickory said.
But that means that you can't even help me, I said.
There is a difference between you and the colony of Roanoke, Hickory said. The Colonial Union cannot ask us not to protect or assist you. It would violate the treaty between our peoples, and the Colonial Union would not want to do that, especially now. But the Colonial Union may choose to interpret the treaty narrowly and has. Our treaty concerns you, Zoe. To a much lesser extent, it concerns your family, meaning Major Perry and Lieutenant Sagan. It does not concern Roanoke Colony at all.
It does when I live here, I said. This colony is of a great deal of concern to me. Its people are of a great deal of concern to me. Everybody I care about in the whole universe is here. Roanoke matters to me. It should matter to you.
We did not say it did not matter to us, Hickory said.
And I heard something in its voice I had never heard before. Reproach.
Nor do we suggest it does not matter to you, for many reasons. We are telling you how the Colonial Union is asking the Oban government to view its rights under treaty. And we are telling you that our government, for its own reasons, has agreed.
So if my dad asks for your help, you will tell him no, I said.
We will tell him that so long as Roanoke is a Colonial Union world, we are unable to offer help.
So no, I said.
Yes, Hickory said. We are sorry, Zoe.
I want you to give me the information your government has given you, I said.
We will do so, Hickory said. But it is in our native language and file formatting, and will take a considerable amount of time for your PDA to translate.
I don't care, I said.
As you wish, Hickory said.
Not too long after that, I stared at the screen of my PDA and ground my teeth together as it slowly plodded through file transformations and translations. I realized it would be easier just to ask Hickory and Dickory about it all, but I wanted to see it all with my own eyes, however long it took. It took long enough that I had hardly read any of it by the time Dad and the others had made it home.